Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the investors conference call of Elanor Investors Group. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 23rd of February, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to our first speaker today, CEO, Mr. Glenn Willis. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. Welcome to the results presentation for Elanor Investors Group for the first half of the financial year 2017, for the period ending 31 December 2016. I'd like to introduce my colleagues here today: Simon Simmonds, CFO; Paul Siviour, COO; Michael Balliver runs ERF, our listed retail fund that we established over the period; and Marianne Ossobani, who heads up our hotels, tourism, leisure business, and COO. I'll be referring to the presentation pack that I'm sure you all have, and I'll take you through that, and we'll have Q&A questions and answers at the end. So we just go to page four of the pack, and we'll start there. The half, we're pleased with the growth in core earnings for the half, being a 34% increase in the prior corresponding period at $7.7 million, which has delivered a 7.7 cents distribution per security, which, as you can see, is over 6% increase on the prior corresponding period. That, on a weighted average basis, that's over a 10% increase on the prior corresponding period. That being a function of the capital raising that we did over the period. Most of you will recall that we issued 17.8 million securities at the end of July 2016, which was 25% of the capital base of the group. That capital raising was undertaken to enable us to establish, in the main, two new funds. First one being the Elanor Retail Property Fund, which is a listed retail shopping centre REIT, and also the Elanor Commercial Property Fund, which is an unlisted multi-asset commercial property fund. Both of those funds were the main contributors to the growth in our funds under management, our investments under management over the period. Very pleasingly, there's a 65% over 65% increase in funds under management over the period, which, as I'm sure you are all aware, the overarching ambition of Elanor Investors Group is to build our investments under management, our external investments under management, and having the balance sheet and the to be able to do that is a very important enabler to growing investments under management. Our balance sheet enables us to firstly co-invest with our capital partners in our external funds, and it also enables us to hold assets on balance sheet for externalisation of those assets in due course into funds. As you can see, the gearing for the period is very low. It's actually obviously positive net cash. As I've said before, our philosophy in regards to gearing for the group, for Elanor, is for the group to be very modestly geared in terms of the gearing in the funds, the gearing in the individual funds. That's a function of the assets and the appropriate gearing for the funds. But in terms of the headstock, our intention is to be lowly geared. Our view is that businesses like these are able to achieve great growth in periods when investment opportunities present, having a lowly geared, very fit balance sheet enables us to do that. And as such, as we stand right now, it could be whilst having no net debt, could be viewed as being perhaps too conservative. We are very well positioned now to increase our funds under management and deploy and deploy our capital. Just moving to page five, that's a, we provide that every half, which is, just gives a representation of our total security holder return. Moving to page six. Page six, the chart in page six illustrates our growth in funds under management since the inception, since IPO in July 2014. We're pleased with our growth in funds under management. We consider our, whilst the growth rate is has been strong, we consider our business to be a very modest, presently a very modestly sized listed investment management business, and but we have a I believe a fantastic platform to grow the business, and most importantly grow our funds under management going forward. Pleasing growth rate thus far, but I'm more pleased about the platform we have to achieve growth going forward. If we move to page eight, most of you would have seen this slide before. This is how we think about our business. We have on the left-hand side our funds under management, and the external funds are listed there, and on the right-hand side are the balance sheet investments of the group. As I said earlier, the primary objective of ENN is to grow funds under management, but certainly not growth for growth's sake whatsoever. It's of paramount importance to us that we establish funds with great assets that deliver very strong sustainable cash flows, and assets that also deliver strong potential for capital growth. And our key motive is to achieve high total returns for our investors in our funds. Our belief is that if we stay true to that principle of delivering very strong returns to our funds, our fund investors, that will continue to manifest itself in a positive, very positive way for ENN security holders. Over the period, our funds have performed in the main very, very well. A couple of our funds haven't performed as we need them to perform. Having said that, the two funds in mind are still delivering cash returns at or close to double digit. But we, for all of our funds, we are very positive in terms of the total return outlook for those funds, and we've to deliver on a exceptional results as we have done in the past. If we turn to page nine, that illustrates where our funds are in terms of the makeup of the both the managed funds and the investments. As I mentioned before, again, our investment philosophy is for us to have a strong focus on finding assets that deliver very strong sustainable cash flows that also have quality capital lift opportunities to ultimately be able to deliver exceptional returns. And again, I believe we're very well positioned to grow this business from what we consider it to be at modest scale at present. Turning now to the details of our financial statements, I'll hand it over at this juncture to our Chief Operating Officer, Paul Sibbia, to take us through the financial statements in more detail, and we'll then go through the segment performance.
Thanks, Glenn. Our profit and loss result for the period was $4.8 million, and that's a result that was struck after equity accounting our investment in Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund. Our statutory results actually require us to consolidate that investment, but for the purposes of management reporting and for the purposes of a more appropriate presentation of the result, we equity account it in the context of our investor presentation. As Glenn mentioned, our core earnings for the period was $7.7 million, which reflects a 34% increase on the prior comparative period. Our core earnings represents a strong result, and certainly it's been driven by the outperformance of our funds management business, which generated $7.8 million against $4.1 million in the prior comparative period, and we'll chat more about that in a moment. Our hotel, tourism and leisure division performed very strongly in the period and generated $3.7 million of net profit after tax. It's important to note in the context of that result that the balance sheet portfolio within hotel, tourism and leisure at the moment, which is Featherdale Wildlife Park, Hotel Ibis Styles Canberra Eagle Hawk and Hotel Ibis Styles Albany, combined showed a material year-on-year growth in earnings from the prior period. The prior period result, you'll probably recall, included the full 6 months results of Pepper's Cradle Mountain Lodge and Mantra Wollongong. Those assets were sold into and seeded the establishment of the Eleanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund in March 2016. Our real estate division shows a loss for the period of $1.5 million. That is directly related to the equity accounting for the transaction and establishment costs for Eleanor Retail Property Fund during the period. As Glenn mentioned, we successfully listed that fund in November 2016, and as a result of equity accounting rules, need to take up our share of those transaction costs. In fact, the difference between our equity accounted result for Eleanor Retail Property Fund and the distributions we've received from that fund comprise the major uplift from the net profit after tax of $4.8 million to the core earnings of $7.7 million. Just now turning to the balance sheet briefly, on page 12, our net asset value per security at the end of the period is $1.46. That's up from $1.37 at June 2016. And that increase reflects primarily the capital that we raised in July 2016. And that capital raising was completed at a price per security of $1.85. Our cash at the end of the period is $11.4 million. Which in fact is in excess of our interest-bearing liabilities of $10.9 million. That partly reflects some of the capital we raised in July that's not yet been deployed. Effectively, though, the construct of our balance sheet is the valuation of our hotel, tourism and leisure properties, the three properties I mentioned before. It also includes the carrying value of our Marylands property, which is carried at cost, $16.6 million, and it includes the carrying value of John Coutts Furniture, which is also carried at cost. I'll now just turn to page 15 for the start of the segment performance information, and Glenn, you might just want to introduce this.
Yeah, just I guess the key point that I'd like to make before I again hand it over to Paul to take us through the construct of the segment performance is the overarching ambition and goal of Eleanor Investors Group is to grow its funds under management, and to that end, we're very pleased with the growth in the financial performance of the funds management division. As we state here, it was a material outperformance relative to the prior corresponding period, with the EBITDA increasing to $7.8 million from $4.1 million. We're pleased with that result, and we consider that a result that is, I guess, demonstrative of the focus of the business and our ability to execute on our key objective of growing funds under management. So against that, Paul, I'll hand it back to you to take us through the constructs.
Thanks, Glenn. So can I just refer people to page 16 of the investor presentation, the funds management segment result. As Glenn mentioned, we're very pleased with the result, $7.8 million against a prior comparative period result of $4.1 million. That reflects, of course, the significant increase in our funds under management, up from $390 million at 12 months ago to $646 million. Importantly, during the period, we established two new managed funds, the Elanor Retail Property Fund, which is a multi-asset retail shopping centre REIT that we successfully listed on the ASX in November 2016. That fund has a gross asset value of approximately $250 million. The second fund established during the period is the Elanor Commercial Property Fund. That's a multi-asset commercial office fund. As at the end of the period, it had gross asset value of $41 million, but since that date, we've acquired a further asset within that fund, and it currently has a gross asset value of $58 million. During the period, we did generate significant performance fees from two exits and realizations. One was the inclusion of the Auburn Central Syndicate as part of Elanor Retail Property Fund at IPO, and secondly, we sold Super Amart Auburn Property in December 2016. Each of those funds generated approximately 23 or a 24% internal rate of return to the investors in those funds. Funds management is our key focus, and in that regard, we're pleased to report that the platform is scalable and we can see the opportunity to grow. Turning to hotel, tourism and leisure, the EBITDA contribution to core earnings of that segment was $4.2 million. I mentioned before that that includes the trading results of our three on-balance sheet assets, which collectively showed a material increase from the prior comparative period. It also includes the distributions that we have received in respect of our co-investments in hotel, tourism and leisure funds that we manage. Mentioning again, just for reference, if you're looking at the comparative period for the first half of FY16, that of course included the full EBITDA results of Pepper's Cradle Mountain Lodge and Mantra Wollongong, and so the results are not directly comparable. Turning to page 18, as a summary of the distributions that we've received from our investments in the hotel funds, those investments are within 193 Clarence Hotel, our Bell City funds, and also the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund. The total distributions received from those funds in the period was $1.4 million. That reflected an annualised return of 8.4%. And within the period, we did not receive a distribution from the Clarence Hotel Syndicate, as that syndicate is currently in preparation for refurbishment to a 4.5-star hotel. The real estate result on page 19, as we've mentioned before, the equity accounted result of that segment shows a loss of $1.5 million directly related to those transaction costs that I referred to in the establishment of Elanor Retail Property Fund. Distributions, though, received during the period from our investment in these funds was $0.6 million, and our contribution, the contribution to core earnings was $0.3 million. Our co-investments are within three funds, our Elanor Commercial Property Fund, importantly, of course, our Elanor Retail Property Fund and our Limestone Street Syndicate. Finally, page 20 in respect of our special situations investments shows that this segment contributed $0.5 million to core earnings in the period, and that compares to $0.7 million for the prior comparative period. This segment comprises two assets, John Coote's furniture business and also the Marylands property that's connected with that business. During the period, we opened two new outlets of John Coote's furniture stores in Rutherford, New South Wales, and Prospect in Sydney. And I think the other important point just to note is that we have successfully concluded and settled the insurance claims in respect of stock and plant and equipment in relation to John Coote's furniture, in relation to business interruption, and this, of course, relates to the fire that you may recall occurred in July 2015, which caused major damage to our warehouse. From a business interruption point of view, to date we've received $2.3 million of progress claims, and we're in the progress of in the process of making a final claim that will be lodged in the short term. Glenn, I'll pass back to you to discuss Marylands.
Yes. The progress of the sale of the Marylands property, I appreciate, is of high interest to all of our investors. Given that it's been an investment that has been worked on for a good period of time, and one that we're looking to achieve a material uplift in value on the disposal of that asset. We undertook a expression of interest campaign completing in late last year, and as we state here, we're in advanced negotiations with the preferred bidder as a result of that campaign. We expect to complete the negotiations in the short term. What does the short term mean? Over the next month, we would expect to complete negotiations. Having said that, as I say, with when I deliver any expectations, it's never done till it's done, and we're positive about getting a conclusion on that property, but we still have to execute on that sale. So that's the status of the Marylands property. I guess, again, in summary, turning to page 23, which summarises well how we think about the business. Again, we mentioned that growing our funds under management is the key and overarching objective of Elanor Investors Group. As an investment philosophy, an investment approach, we are what I would describe as a highly active asset manager, which means that we take a highly urgent approach to extracting value out of all of our investments, whether they be a shopping centre, a hotel asset, or an operating business that we've acquired because it has substantial real estate backing. Our approach is consistent across the group, and it's been one that's served us well thus far. And it's certainly one that will see our approach that will continue well and truly into the future. If we look at our outlook, as I mentioned before, over what is getting close to 3 years now, we've achieved solid growth in investments under management, and most pleasingly, we've achieved strong performance for our fund investors. Our platform is such that we believe enables us to grow strongly going forward, and that we are very positive about the platform that's been established by the team over the last several years. As always, in terms of our core earnings outlook, it's a function of originating great assets, and I say great assets because we're well positioned with balance sheet resources to grow funds under management, and we have very strong demand from our capital partners to participate with us in new funds. We will not grow unless we can get great assets. We are well positioned to grow, and our core earnings will definitely be a function of our ability to continue to get great assets, and also to generate performance fees on our investments over time. So, ladies and gentlemen, I might now hand it over to our moderator to invite questions, and we'd be pleased to take those questions.
Certainly, ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for a name to be announced. If you would like to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. And there will be a short silence while participants register for questions. So first question comes from the line of Will McDermott from Odd Minute. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and well done on the result, guys. Certainly very pleasing to see the funds management result, for sure. Just a couple of questions on hotel tourism and leisure. Are you expecting distributions to be reinstated out of Clarence Hotel in the second half? And to that end, I know you've spoken a bit about some development opportunities at other assets that you've had. Are you expecting any pause in any other assets for the remainder of the year?
I'll answer that question, and I might hand over to Marianne. But no, the Clarence Hotel was acquired initially on the basis that it was to be converted. It's the conversion of that hotel we expect to be completed in July and operating as the new 4.5 to 5-star boutique, 50-room boutique hotel, which we believe will deliver will be substantially more valuable than it is now, and will deliver an exceptional return to our investors. So that's that was always a strategy for that fund, and we're pleased with the progress, and we're certainly pleased with what we believe will be the value of that asset upon that conversion. Do you want to add to that, Marianne?
Yeah, well, just to the question of whether the distributions will be reinstated in the first half next year, so we would expect that would be the case, given it's going to be completed in July, which is the target date at the moment.
And I guess the other to add to that, just to be clear, that's that all of you will be aware of the demand for hotels in Sydney and Melbourne, Sydney and Melbourne cities. The Clarence Street Hotel is a very well located hotel, and we believe it will have a strong value uplift, and in due course for the fund investors we'll have to consider the market value for that hotel and any realization the right realization strategy. All that to say is we're not at this stage. We're not definitive about whether we will sell the hotel upon completion, but that obviously is an option.
As for other funds, we don't expect there'll be any pause in the other fund distribution, so it's really just this particular fund, Clarence.
Okay. Great, thanks. And I think you've spoken in the past about your intentions to reduce your equity stake in the EHAF. Would it be a possibility to roll the Clarence Hotel into that fund, or how do you intend to sort of do that? Are you going to wait to find more assets to roll in, or could you find some replacement capital? What's your sort of near-term intentions for that?
Well, the Clarence Street Hotel is not an asset that's consistent with the assets for the EHAF fund. That wouldn't sit appropriately in that fund, substantially by virtue of the it being a very low yielding hotel, in relative to the EHAF assets. But we look forward to adding new assets to the Eleanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund, which, as you just are aware, we call EHAF, Adding new assets to that fund will, in all likelihood, reduce our relative stake in that fund.
Okay, I'll just ask one more question, if you don't mind, and then I'll hand over to somebody else. Just on John Coates Furniture, just want to confirm that there's no insurance payments in the results for the first half, and also just to ask sort of what your intentions are there for further store rollouts across the remainder of the year.
Cool.
That's right, Will. There's really no contribution from insurance activity in this half's results. We see opportunities to continue to increase the number of stores. Currently 11 retail outlets. There'll be a further store that will open in the middle of this year. And it really then comes down to finding the right locations, which is obviously critical. The right locations for us, we're probably underrepresented in metropolitan Sydney, and that would be where we'd perhaps focus our attention on opportunities for some further stores.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you for the question. Next question comes from the line of Edward Day from Moelis. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tane. Congratulations on the solid result there. Just a couple of questions from me quickly. Just wondering if you could give a bit of a breakdown of the funds management EBITDA and what our expectations might be for the second half in 17?
I'll hand it over to Paul to... I'm loath to give any more breakdown than we currently provide at this stage. Not that we're not keen to be absolutely transparent, but for competitive purposes, we'd prefer not to be more detailed at this stage. In terms of outlook for the second half, as I mentioned earlier, we do have an active pipeline. Getting assets, getting great assets, is definitely more challenging, as I'm sure all of you will be aware. As I also mentioned, whilst we're well positioned with a very solid balance sheet and very strong demand from our capital partners for assets, we will grow if we get great assets. I guess sounds a bit trite, but that's the business we're in, of finding great assets and getting returns from those assets. So we expect to build on our funds under management over the half, but I wouldn't want to get any more specific than that. And as you've heard me say many times before, really until it's on the scoreboard, I don't want to talk a lot about it, because we can say a lot, but I prefer to talk about it when we've got the results.
Sure. And also, would you be able to give an update on the performance of Bell City and whether the subdivision there is progressing?
It is progressing. It's taken longer than we anticipated, mainly due to dealing with council and council delays. But the performance of Bell City, when I mentioned earlier, a couple of the funds aren't performing as we require. That is one of them. That's delivered a 9% annualised return over the period, which per se is reasonable, but not to our expectations and our requirements. That asset is improving, and the initiatives that have been put in place and executed on by the operator Mantra Group are positive. Not positive enough, not at the rate that we require. Having said that, getting back to our asset management approach, there's an acute focus on getting the returns in that fund that asset that we believe are well and truly possible, and we're very positive about the path and the performance and the total return that fund will deliver in due course and going forward. The demand for hotels in Sydney and Melbourne is very strong. The market value of that asset would similarly be would be very strong. Having said that, our acute focus is on realising on the operational opportunities that we believe are well and truly exist in that asset, and also in terms of it's for those that you that aren't aware of that fund, that is, it's got two hotel towers with a combined number of rooms of 840 rooms. Also has an office tower. 6-story office tower, and it has the development land, which the current DA is in the order of, provides for about 340 apartments. The titling of that land has now been complete with council, and it's now going through the registration process. We will look to divest that in the near term.
Great, thank you. And just one more. Featherdale Wildlife Park got a slight uptick in valuation. Could you just sort of briefly comment on its performance, broadly, and sort of whether there's any update with the dispute that was sort of underway with the competing park?
Yep. In terms of for those of you who aren't aware, we've been objecting to a proposed new zoo that's slated to be established in nearby, 5 kilometres away from our zoo. That new zoo was initially intended to be an exotic animal zoo, in other words, a non-native animal zoo, which is what Featherdale is. We don't have any objection to an exotic animal zoo. We have an objection to a new zoo being established on government leasehold land that will compete with us. Our objections very much based on the non-competitive aspects that in regard to the to Featherdale, for those of you who don't aware, whilst it is a very strong performing investment, it also provides an enormous amount of social benefit, both in terms of education services, in terms of animal conservation, in terms of animal preservation, and we've made objections to the government that a new zoo could indeed endanger those services being provided going forward, given they are services that are provided for little or no commercial benefit to Featherdale. Our objection culminated in a PAC hearing, the determination of the PAC will be provided to the has been provided to the Minister for Planning. There's been a change in ministers, as you're all aware, in New South Wales. So in the short term, we believe that their determination will be passed down. Once we have that determination, that'll inform us as to what our strategic path for Featherdale will be. But in short, Featherdale is a fantastic commercial asset, provides a fantastic social service. Featherdale is the largest collection of Australian fauna in the world, in Australia. The ability to grow Featherdale in new locations is very real, but that is a medium term strategic objective for Featherdale, but in the short term we'll be looking to be clear as to what the result of our objections to the new zoo will be.
And Ed, just to add, you asked about the slight change in carrying value for that asset that reflects some capital works, modest capital works, and some modest capitalised costs during the period.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you for the questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Follow-up questions from the line of Will McDermott from Odd Minute. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just one more from me. You added a bit of corporate cost in the first half. Is that the sort of run rate we can expect sort of for the full year, or how should we look at that for the second half?
Cool. Yes, look, I think, Will, that's probably going to be reasonably consistent, I would have thought. We wouldn't expect an increase.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. At this time, there are no further questions from the phone line. I'd like to hand the call back to the management for closing remarks.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for your interest in Elanor Investors Group and attending this presentation call. I'd like to finish off by thanking publicly the entire team of Elanor Investors Group. As I mentioned before, we believe we've got a very positive platform to enable us to grow our business. But more specifically, we've got a very strong team, and the results are obviously a function of the great efforts by the whole team at Elanor. So thank you to my team. So thank you all again, and wish you all the very best as investors in Elanor, and look forward to meeting with you all or linking up again for the next presentation in 6 months' time. Thank you all.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude the conference for today. You may now disconnect the lines.